Talcar woke to find his companion still asleep. For a moment, he lay in the bed, reveling in the feeling of being off-world. Then he gave a soft snort. Huh, off-world. I am still just where I have been put. There is a whole world out there. I should go see it. Nodding at these thoughts, he carefully slipped out of the bed and gathered up his clothes. Once in the corridor, he hastily dressed, then stopped to think. It would be pointless going out the front door, even if his mother was taking the chance to sample the wares of the house herself. There would still be someone watching the door. But there would be a back door, Talcar grinned. Moving steadily through the house, he walked as if he had every right to be there. Nodding at the couples he met on the stairs, he headed towards the back of the house. There he found a much less ornate staircase than the one he had used before. This one led him down to a dark corridor. At the end of the corridor, he could hear a soft voice singing to herself. He followed his ears. He carefully opened the door. It was a kitchen. Water boiled on the stove, and a young woman sat at a table chopping vegetables. Obviously the cook. Still, her long red hair framed a handsome face. Talcar cleared his throat. The young woman's head went up and she stopped singing. She dropped the knife and her hands went to the side of her chair. Talcar was intrigued to notice she had wheels on the chair. A couple of motions with her hands and she had turned to face him. What are you doing? The woman started. But she noticed the expensive cut of his clothes and Talcar could almost see her mind change. I mean, my pardon, sir. But this area is not for the guests. This is just the kitchen. Talcar nodded and smiled. I can see that. I am exploring. If you would show me the back way out, I will disturb you no longer. With a slightly confused look on her face, she gestured towards the back of the room with her chin. Through there. But why not use the front door? This way is more exciting, Talcar explained. She nodded, making Talcar wonder if she was a kindred spirit. Why are there wheels on your chair? He asked. She frowned at him, and an old hurt leapt to her eyes. Talcar was not sure what he had done, but he knew that look. He saw it in the mirror every day. I am a cripple, she said. Talcar frowned. A cripple? He stumbled over the unfamiliar word. Don't you have cripples where you come from? She said angrily. Talcar shrugged. I do not know. What is a cripple? She whipped off the light blanket, revealing pale, thin legs. My legs don't work, okay? Talcar looked at them. Really? How do you survive? She frowned. I've always been like this. I was born this way. Talcar reached out one hand. May I touch them? She twitched the blanket back. No, if you want to touch someone, go back upstairs. I'm not here for that, just to cook, no matter what my father says. Talcar leaned against the table. Why would your father have anything to say about your life? Surely that would be for your rulers to decide. She frowned at him again. What? Talcar waved a hand. It is not important. Then unless you want something to eat, you will have to leave. She drew herself up. Talcar noticed her arms were well muscled. They almost made up for the thinness in her legs. Your arms have strength. Are they how you survive? Or perhaps it is by your voice. It was quite pleasant. Talcar noticed her pleased surprise when he mentioned her singing voice. Obviously, she did not get complimented often. It was a point worth remembering. Puzzled, the woman lost her stiff look. Survive? I suppose I survive by cooking. That is what they pay me for. But why all this stuff about surviving? Talcar realized his ignorance was showing, and that could be dangerous. He was forced to accept his mother's wisdom in taking things one step at a time. Except, he looked at the woman speculatively. Now I've just told you, I'm just here for cooking. If you want something to eat, I can help you, but otherwise, go back upstairs. Is that why you do not work upstairs? Because your wheelchair would not go up there? Talcar asked. She looked at him like he was stupid. No, Because I'm not a whore. Talcar shrugged. Although your legs would limit some positions, I am sure you would still be able to offer pleasure and receive it. Or does your damage go further? She just looked at him. You were talking like whoring is an honored profession. Talcar nodded. Among my people, it is an art like any other, and honored, just as a singer, painter, or dancer would be. Dancer is a little higher, of course, but not by much. She shook her head. Where are you from? Besides, it doesn't matter where the damage stops, but it doesn't go that high, no, seeing how you asked. I've just never really found sex all that much fun. Talcar wondered why she felt she needed to give him that extra information. He could guess. Then a thought occurred. He frowned. Really? Was your first not well trained? She stared at him, opened mouth. No, I doubt he was. The only training my father ever did for sex was to get utterly drunk. She stopped, her mouth closing with a clack as if she was trying to stop the words before they left her mouth. Talcar shook his head. Your father was your first. That is not right. He should have waited.
What?
You mean you would sleep with your father, but only if he wasn't your first? Talcar squirmed. Well, I am afraid I do not find men attractive. And I have never met my father, so probably not. She gave a surprised laugh. You look like you're apologizing for being straight. Talcar shot her a look that told her to drop the subject. She watched him, puzzled. Where are you from? Talcar waved the question away. I wish to explore the world outside this house. Obviously, our two peoples are more different than I had assumed. I will need a guide. Will you lead me? She picked up the long-forgotten knife. Talcar tensed, but it was soon obvious she was only using it as a prop. I am supposed to be cooking. Talcar grinned. I was told that I could choose any woman I wanted and she would do whatever I wanted. He carefully removed the blade from her hands, placing it out of her reach. He lifted her hands to his lips. Holding her gaze with his own, he said, I choose you. He lightly kissed her fingers. And I choose you as my guide. She watched his face, and then looked at the tips of her fingers. Oh. She took her hand back and Talcar moved back to lean on the table again. She watched him. Are you for real? Talcar grinned. Do I feel real? She brushed her fingers over the back of her hand. Yes. Her voice was so soft, it was a barely offered thought. Then she straightened in her chair again. Okay, I will show you around. Talcar leapt to his feet. Good. He strode to the door and held it open. After you, my guide.